previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
Ayaz thinks I'm cute.
You know, the cuteness is just so hard to deal with, especially when I want to feed you shrimp, because I know it'll kill you.
Instead of writing the Chrome extension, I think I'll just write Reed Hastings an email and see what happens. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I am Ayaz Akhtar.
I'm Eric Sandine.
Together, we are the three heads of the three-headed shark attack.
That's great. That means if one of us dies, there's going to be like a couple more boxes here.
Yeah, right. There's spoiler alert. Okay, so
oh, come on. Do you nobody needs that spoiler alert ever in the history of time.
Yeah. I didn't get that far. You can't spoil asylum films.
That's true. Okay. That's true. You can only make them fresher. So do you want to just jump right into the movie, or do you want to bullshit about something else first?
Well, let's do that serious thing we should do and be honest about this, because this is not a joke. This is not some bullshit thing. Real quick and honestly and sincerely, not anything, because I have a job and I talk on video and stuff, and I didn't get to talk about this at all. That whole Las Vegas thing. Just horrible, miserable. Mm-hmm. I was reading about it a lot and seeing the media coverage about it. As a brown fellow with a beard, I have some opinions that I'm not going to fully state. I think this person that did that is awful and is miserable, but all the people that saved other people, those are the true heroes, and we should be talking about them. This isn't a ploy or some other shit. I know there's I make jokes about things a lot, and it's inappropriate. But on Monday, I was just so upset about this entire thing. And I saw some other responses, and I work for this company where they fired a lawyer about this because he wrote some bullshit thing about, well, country music fans are usually Republican, so take that. Just I'm sorry that what happened. I don't like the coverage about it. The president is a fucking joke in the way he's handling it. I don't like getting political ever at any time, but man, was this a fucked up past couple of days. So hopefully, once we get to our bits where we talk about three-headed shark attack, which is much lighter in coverage, we can get to that. If you guys have anything to say, go for it. If you don't, it's fine. But I'm really sorry. I really need to. I'm so upset about that. And
I mean, no, it's. I think, you know, it's clear. Like, we have a platform here that we don't have in our other areas necessarily. Like, I probably couldn't really use my platform at How Stuff Works to address this either. Not in a way that wouldn't somehow end up being seen as inappropriate, perhaps either from the perspective of my audience or from my employer. Although my employer is pretty cool. So when it happened, I was actually this has been a really rough week for me personally. Has nothing to do with, like, the stuff that's going on in the world is way, way, way more stressful than anything I am experiencing personally. So let me get that out of the way. The shit I have to deal with is strictly small potatoes compared to what other people are going through. However, it has been affecting my sleep schedule. I've been waking up in the middle of the night consistently throughout this week. And I woke up at 2 a.m. just as the news was breaking out of Las Vegas. And I had made the mistake of, after I woke up, picking up my phone and looking at Twitter because, you know, I was awake. I was just like, well, I'll just look at some stuff and then I'll go to sleep. And then I started seeing the news, which meant that I stayed up for the rest of the night following the story as it was breaking. It was absolutely horrifying. And I mean, it was such a terrible experience to go from, like, the first reports were 2 dead, 49 injured. And then to go where those numbers ballooned to incredible levels. It was really, really hard to even comprehend. Learning more about it, about the bump stocks and things of that nature, that also made it more horrifying to think about. And, you know, we, all three of us, attend big events, you know, big events that have huge crowds that are potentially the target for somebody who just wants to cause a lot of chaos, whatever their basic motivation is. I mean, we don't know what that motive is. It's kind of immaterial. We all take part in these sort of things. So from that perspective, it's a real eye opener. And then also just the fact that these were people who were gathered together for music, right? Something where they're actually there to celebrate, have a good time, enjoy themselves. Like, you never really think that that's the point where you're going to be targeted, literally targeted, for violence like that. And the whole story, absolutely horrifying. And like you said, Ayaz, the official response from what should be a true leader and has consistently proven himself to be anything but is beyond insufficient. I mean, there's not even really words to describe it. So I'm totally with you on that. You know, I also am just completely horrified to the point of speechlessness. I mean, I'm not known as that guy, the one who can't, you know, come up with words. But in this case, there's just nothing sufficient, really.
Yeah, I like to joke about everything. I was like, no, not this, and not going to happen. Eric, any words?
I think you guys both got it. I mean, kind of hit me out of nowhere with that one. So
that is true. I didn't say, hey, before the show, let's talk about this thing. It's something that's been bugging me for the past couple of days, and it's not going to like stop or anything. So, what we're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you guys don't have a normal outlet for that other than maybe here. Like, this is basically the only show. So,
we're going to do for. Go ahead, Jonathan. You had something to say.
I was just going to say, like, having a space in the media, it puts a certain burden on you, and it depends upon your individual circumstance. But there comes a point where you actually have to start asking yourself questions about what you can and can't post about as yourself, which kind of sucks. But it is one of those things you got to kind of keep in mind. Luckily, I've been in the experience where it's only maybe once or twice I've ever had anyone come up after the fact and tell me, hey, that you should not have done that. Most of the time it's pretty hands-off, but it's definitely one of those things where you have to stop and consider it. By the way, side note, this is a personal pet peeve of mine. When someone comes out and expresses a political opinion and another person comes in and says, hey, can't you just talk about whatever. So if it's a comedian, can't you just make jokes? If it's a tech podcaster or a journalist, can't you just talk about tech? Fuck that. Fuck you. We're human beings. Politics affects all of us. All of us have political lives to some extent. We are all part of this society, and it is not just our right, but it's really our responsibility to speak out and to be part of this conversation. Don't fucking tell people that they're not allowed to do that and to use that platform. If you don't like it, fucking unfollow me. Guess what? I didn't know you fucking existed until you made a big stink about it, and I don't fucking care that you exist now. So just fucking go and don't let the door hit your goddamn ass on the way out. Shit face. Okay, I feel better.
So there we go. We have our little encapsulated comments about this event. And now we're going to do the thing we normally do, which is we kind of like just talk shit about movies. So as small as this is, as tiny as this podcast is, our discussions, our notes, I have notes and notes and notes about this 300 Shark Attack. Please understand that we're just doing what we normally do. So I'm gonna do my best. And also, like, I watch a bunch of shows, and one of the shows I love is called Last Man on Earth, and it was super hard to watch. I couldn't watch the damn thing for a couple of days because of what happened. And I know that sounds like, oh, poor you, you couldn't watch a TV show. I know that's stupid. I'm just letting you know that I'm a person too. I care about actual people. I know it never sounds like I do. But let's move on. Right now is going to be currently on Podcast Without Pretense. Hey, Jonathan, what the hell do we do on this show?
So on this show, upon occasion, we decide to test our ability to pay attention to shit that does not merit it. Usually. Sometimes we watch decent stuff, but more often than not, we try and pick a really shitty movie and just see how long we can watch said shitty movie before we give up watch that movie without any distractions, I should say. No second screens, no anything. Nothing that could take our attention away from the film. Till we reach a point where we just can't do that anymore. And at that point, we can invite as many distractions into our lives as we want. We can even walk away from the film if we so desire. But then we get together and talk about how long did we make it into the movie, and then just kind of talk about our thoughts of the film in general. This week, Eric picked the film. It is Three-Headed Shark Attack. I would like to point out that the film that was previously picked was Zombies. I had picked it. Then I found out it was an Asylum film. And then I told Eric and Ayaz that we wouldn't watch it because it was an Asylum film. And I didn't think it was fair. And then Eric went and picked a goddamn Asylum film.
Was that knowingly done, Eric?
I didn't know it was an Asylum film. No.
Okay, that's fair. So how long...
Although, I should check in the future.
How long... Jonathan, did you go before you like did a second screen, decided to drink alcohol, which would kill you, or like started to quip with other people?
Well, as the first sentence in my 4 pages of notes, which by the way only covers the first 20 minutes of this movie, say, I got 0 minutes in with no distractions because as soon as I saw it was an Asylum production, after we had just decided to skip the last Asylum film, I gave up on life.
Eric? How about you?
I made it 40 minutes in because I had to rush home and rent it because it was no longer available on Netflix.
Okay. I was 7 minutes and 52 seconds in. I got a message and then I checked it voluntarily because I hated this movie. So, Eric, you win and or lose. Jonathan, you win and or lose. And I somehow watched the 7 minutes of this piece of shit.
I have to say... Jonathan mentioned earlier that the Wikipedia summary for this is perfect. And I think somebody should read that, and then we'll just frame the rest of the discussion around it. Yes, please do. We don't need to read our notes line for line. This is perfect. All right.
So my notes, like I said, I've got 4 fucking pages about the first 20 minutes, and I did watch beyond the first 20 minutes. I just stopped taking notes. However, this is the complete synopsis from Wikipedia for Three-Headed Shark Attack. The greatest man-eater is 3 times as deadly when a mutated great white shark with 3 heads originating from the Great Pacific Garbage Patch eats its way through an island research facility, forcing the group led by Dr. Laura Thomas to evacuate before the facility was destroyed. The group standing on the shore swim one by one towards the boat in the middle of the lake, but the shark ate 2 of them while on the way. As the survivors escape on the boat, the shark finds a party boat, forcing the passengers to fight the deadly predator using anything they could find. As the shark chomps its way from one end of the boat to the other, survivors from the research facility arrive and attempt to help the passengers escape. They escape, however, it's only short-lived as the shark is hot on their trail. At one point, the 3-headed shark's middle head is chopped off, only to find it grows 3 more heads in its place. The survivors head off the new island with new boats. As one of the boats is destroyed, killing the remaining passengers of the party boat, the remaining survivors come up with a plan that uses garbage as its key to killing the monstrosity. This leads to Stanley being killed and then to the shark killing itself, leaving only 2 survivors out of a group of well over 70. That is the best awful synopsis I have ever read in my life. My favorite part of that entire shit synopsis is the introduction of the character of Stanley at the moment of his death. Yep. It doesn't say Stanley anywhere in that synopsis until it says this leads to Stanley being killed.
That might be one of the most efficient synopsis of anything ever, because the reason why you should know Stanley is because he will die. And I have notes and notes and notes myself. But as I listen to this, I'm like, that's the entire movie. But that's why you watch and listen to Podcasts Without Pretense, because we have commentary about that. That description is the entire description of the movie. You never need to watch the movie. Please don't watch the movie. Watch the show and or listen to that.
There's some stuff that's really important. I mean, in context with the film, that synopsis does not touch upon at all. For example, the concept of needless, stupid sacrifices, or the concept of regular garbage somehow being radioactive, or the concept of the shark eating the garbage and thus growing stronger.
All right. So, Jonathan, you've got 4 pages of notes before the 20-minute mark.
Yeah,
I look forward to picking up on that, because I have notes of the rest of the movie. And the movie goes for more than 20 minutes. Spoiler, guys. The movie's longer than 20 minutes.
Sad to hear. All right. Well, let me begin. I have already read the first line, which was the bit about only getting 0 minutes in as soon as I found it was an Asylum production. It says, film opens with an... Oh, by the way, I also think it's funny with that synopsis on Wikipedia that they called it a lake. Because there's a three-headed shark in a lake, according to that synopsis.
It says, in the middle of the lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So as it film opens with an ugly-ass beach, lots of late 20-somethings playing beach volleyball, two young ladies sunbathing, lots of establishing shots of those two ladies, a dude and a lady making out somewhere presumably nearby. The lady has her top off but is laying against the dude, hiding her nudity, but then she sits up topless. This actually surprised me, because I thought, since it was a sci-fi production, as in the Sci-Fi Channel, S-Y-F-Y, Sci-Fi, that there would be actually no nudity. So I guess this film is going to be fair game. Also, I did not pick this movie. Eric did. Bromeister runs up to a dude and a lady who may have had only a few quasi-successful plastic surgeries, and suggests daytime skinny dipping, and says, if I swim out to that buoy and back, you gotta do it. To which the other dude shrugs to the lady as if to say, he's right. It's the law of the beach. And the girl just sort of snorts, but seems to agree. But here's the thing. What happens if he doesn't make it to the buoy? Does he drown? So are the stakes in this bet that he can swim out to the buoy and back to see a girl naked, or he will drown? Because that's hardcore. Yeah, by the way, we are 2 minutes into this movie.
Yeah.
All right. The guy starts swimming, and we immediately get a shot of the three-headed shark underwater. I suspect we'll find out where this monstrosity came from later, if the film's little blurb is anything to go by, but fuck that for now. We just have a three-headed shark. It looks terrible, but it's okay, because we only see it for a second. The dude makes it out to the buoy, and in a shocking move, the shark doesn't get him. So the chick wades out a bit, takes the top of her bikini off, and then after the obligatory boob shot, is immediately eaten by the three-headed shark, which then swims away. The bro on the beach runs in after the girl, does not get out despite buoy boy's pleas, and then he gets eaten. Then the shark beaches itself and eats the two women from the opening scene, plus another dude. Then the shark eats another dude who's passed out at a picnic table even further up the beach, while the guy on the buoy cries. Opening credits. Go ahead.
Can we pause for a second? Sure. I want this to be clear. When Jonathan says that this shark's attacking humans on the beach, this attack is happening 20 feet, 30 feet inland. It's not like it's like, this is at the beach. Gotcha. Yeah. It's jumping in and killing things, killing human beings far away from where a shark should be. I have my notes there. So it's let's say the THS, which is a three-headed shark, jumps onto land and eats people. It goes further inland to eat more people, including a guy at a table. The guy at the buoy is unscathed, as you call him, buoy boy. Continue, please.
Yes. I said opening credits in the most boring font ever, which is true. It's just it looks like it's a font that's just there to be in place for the credits, except it's the actual credits. Then we cut to a diver and some stock footage of a reef. Lady diver emerges from ocean, Little Mermaid style, which means that she comes up like, you know, her head's tilted back, her hair's all wet, boobs thrust forward. She goes into a building, and then we get an extended scene of her getting out of her wetsuit and taking her time to put on a bikini top, which means in the first 6 minutes of this movie, we've seen three topless ladies. This film is working hard, yo. Spoiler alert, those were the last boobs I saw in this movie. But
yep, and that's why she's known as Professor Wetsuit. She's Professor Wetsuit from now on, so there you go.
And she also is a former Miss Teen Georgia beauty pageant contestant, I found out. I did some research on her.
Of course you did. So,
let's keep going.
I mean, I was just curious. I was like, "What? Who the heck is this lady?" Because more on why I was wondering later. All right. Maggie, the intern, shows up somewhere and is greeted by a guy named Ted. I'm amazed he doesn't say, "Take off your shirt and make yourself at home," the way this movie is going. Maggie and Ted exist at this point solely as exposition. Things we learn in their oh-so-casual conversation. They are in a crazy bunker thing that happens to be deep underground and underwater for some reason. It's called Persephone. Its purpose is to study the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which in fact is a real thing. They also do animal discovery and deep sea dives, though Ted says most of the work is just paperwork. Ted and Maggie meet up with a professor, that's Professor Wetsuit, who explains she studies the garbage and that some visitors who conveniently arrive at the docks outside at that very moment are coming and that they can all do a tour together. So I suppose we're about to meet the various victims of the three-headed shark in a second. Ah, the facility is apparently an enormous underwater lab for some reason. Not sure why you need a big underwater facility to study the garbage patch. One of the visitors is Greg, who used to date Maggie before he dropped out of college. Then we have an awkward moment of Greg complimenting Maggie in front of everyone before the tour begins. You know, like two people would in private, except they're not in private. They're in front of everybody else, including people that they've just met. We then hear a voiceover of the professor give the lowdown on this facility, which is apparently half a mile below the surface of the ocean, which is weird because it's right off the edge of an island. I don't know how the ocean dipped down that far. This is a terrible voiceover. She's clearly reading a script. It doesn't sound natural at all, but it's supposed to be what she's saying to the group as they're walking around the facility. But it just sounds like someone reading from a script into a microphone. Greg's group are apparently activists of some kind. Also, every single one of them's wearing stained shirts, like dirty stained shirts for some reason. So what's with the stained shirts? I suppose maybe they were sweating in them or perhaps had to swim through the garbage patch. But Greg's shirt looks stained and dirty. Maybe they're activists against detergent or something. They go to a specimen room to see mutated animals. The mutated ones are, of course, supposed to be severely mutated, not just a little strange. And Maggie makes an obvious statement, which I suppose is meant to make us think she's smart, but it's really just stating the obvious. Specifically, Ted says, "We take in specimens and study them." And Maggie's response is, "Check their pollution levels. Look for anomalies," which... duh. Anyway, I actually despise Maggie in this movie because all of her comments are supposed to make it sound like she's smart, but they're all such obvious statements that it just comes across as the dumbest shit ever. It's a typical Asylum Pictures kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's like she might be, I don't know if she's the dumbest, but yeah, she's exposition, like, "I'm intelligent, right?" It's like, you're not the dumbest character.
It's almost as it. This is an exaggeration, but it's almost like she's like, "Water, that means it's wet." It's almost that bad.
Well, the movie's that bad.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not the performance. It's not. It's not the actress.
Wait. Pause. This actress throughout the entire film, and I know that you guys didn't like watch or write notes for the entire movie. is like the worst actress on the planet. People are dying. She's like, no. She's like, no. No.
She's not worse than the professor. The professor was pretty goddamn bad.
Yeah, but he also doesn't survive. But spoiler.
No. Professor Wetsuit. She also doesn't survive. Professor Wetsuit was pretty damn bad.
I mean, Professor Other Guy. Dr. Nelson, that is. That's what I'm thinking about. Not that's his name is Ted?
Ted. The guy with the slightly English accent.
The guy who I thought won a contest because he's like that bad. He's like the worst actor in the entire movie.
Like, one's good. No one's good. But no, I mean, the point I was making is that the statements of the obvious are supposed to be delivered as if she's being really insightful. But, you know, it would be something like if the character said, these walls are made out of 6-inch steel. And she had said, steel, that's a kind of metal. Except that, like, totally sincere in the context of this movie. That's exactly what this is like.
All right, now I know what our goal is. We need to write a movie. And Jonathan needs to, like, just expand all the outline and be like, steel, right. Kind of metal. And then, like right. Our outline's, like, only 10 minutes worth of work, and Jonathan makes it, like, 2.5 hours.
Well, the question then is, like, do you make it where all the other characters think that that person is being, like, really insightful, or are all the other characters just humoring that person and thinking that they've suffered some terrible brain trauma or something?
it depends on the acting, right? Like, if the acting is good enough,
I think it depends on the character. It should be 50-50.
Okay. Let's do both. Right. The PWP movie is happening next, but go ahead.
What we'll do is every scene we'll just flip a coin, and that's how we decide how to play it. All right, so let's see how we go. Here we go. Maggie says, these things are amazing, and then Ted says, do you see anything interesting? I can't express how exasperated I am at dialogue like this. We cut outside and we see the shark. Meanwhile, some of the critters in the tank start freaking out. Ted says it's behavior that tends to happen in the presence of a predator. I have no idea how the fish inside aquatic tanks inside a metal facility can detect that there's a...
Yeah, so I agree with him, by the way, because he's so upset that he destroyed his connection in Atlanta. How the hell do they know inside this facility that there's a larger predator outside? And, you know, I'm not the biggest expert when it comes to biology, minus the fact that I have a bio degree, but I know nothing about the idea that this can happen. So I'm going to continue with my notes until Jonathan shows up. Eric, do you have anything to say?
Really quickly, I found the editor for that Wikipedia article, and I've been going through her other contributions, and they are all summaries of Asylum films, and they're fantastic. I will have to read at least one before we're done.
Kia, is it you?
I don't know. There's some three sentence ones that are just kind of amazing.
All right, where are we? So Greg takes a tour on Dr. Where are we? Oh, I gotta find my notes. What was the last thing Jonathan was talking about? Something about like a...
The fish in the tanks were freaking out because they sense a predator nearby.
Yes, I have this. Here it is. Sorry, guys. I'm looking through my notes. Here we go. Yes. So in my notes, I have this. A fish is slamming it into the glass of an aquarium, a little mini aquarium. Dr. Nelson explains this is because a larger predator usually causes this. So the fish inside an aquarium, inside of a room that is in the ocean, can sense this even though he threatened the shark.
Wait a second. Am I the only one left now?
You are.
For some reason, I don't think it's their internet connections. That's pretty strange. All right, well, I don't have notes on this, but basically, everything in the tanks is freaking out. And I don't hear from anywhere.
Eric. Frozen Jonathan. Yeah.
There's one.
Sorry, I saw my video froze and I didn't get to finish my thought. So,
yeah,
Eric's still alive, which is good.
We're still on the fish in the tank. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let's close this little thing out of my way, and then there we go. Ready. So, We've got a fish slamming into glass at an aquarium. Doc Nelson explains that a larger predator usually causes this. So inside this aquarium, inside a room that is in the ocean, they can sense that the three-headed shark, even though the three-headed shark is outside of the center, it can sense it. Dr. Nelson is a terrible actor. Back on land, a guy thinks he sees a whale. It's the three-headed shark. Surprise. Greg takes the tour group to follow Dr. Wetsuit, who is leaving to check an emergency. Dr. Wetsuit goes topside with Dr. Nelson. The doctors, the professors, I forget who's who. Land guy wanders into the water to see the whale. Land guy equals Brad. Professor Wetsuit says, get out of the water. Some terrible CG, some really low-res CGI, and the three-headed shark is about to pop up. Brad doesn't leave the water, even though everyone is yelling, leave the water. Three-headed shark jumps out of the water into the air and then eats Brad. Shouldn't three-headed shark have slammed his head into whatever Brad was standing on? Because Brad's like on the shoreline. So you can't jump. And then I don't know beaches very well. Eric, do you know beaches very well?
I've been to some. I wouldn't say I'm an expert. No.
Okay. Good to know, because I don't know beaches. I'm also deathly afraid of water. Well, not like in a glass, but like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a huge like in fan, the large, to be honest with myself.
Like in pools of them? I get very scared. Anyway, so Allison lets out the worst Brad cry ever. Amazing. Almost funny. Oh, no. Allison, by the way, as bad as Maggie is, as bad as Dr. whoever the fuck his name is, Allison is the worst actor in the entire film. Watch this movie just for Allison if you're going to watch this movie and get really fucked up. Anyway, water's rushing into the Persephone. That's the name of the underwater ocean research facility. A guy on the toilet notices pressure at his feet, and then the three-headed shark bursts through the floor and then eats him within his stall. Because that happened. Lockdown. Steve. Okay, Steve is super calm. Explaining the lockdown and requesting Coast Guard help. Cannot tell if he's supposed to be super calm or badly acting, but he sounds super chill. I'll go with Steve. It's just a chill guy. I got a text right now from John that says, fuck you, Comcast. So... Jonathan, who's also known as one of our hosts, is also pissed about Comcast. Hopefully he'll be back pretty soon. So I'm going to keep talking until he shows up again. Minus my beverage drinking. Let's see here. Steve. Maggie sees the shark on a monitor, then sees an object on the sonar. Okay, so they've completely accepted that three-headed shark is a reality, okay? And there's like kind of dealing with it like this is a thing. Eric, you got this far.
Yeah.
Do you think that they kind of like underplay the fact that there's a three-headed fucking shark? Because they're like, okay, it's coming though. And then it's jumping out of water. It's eating Brad and like it's dead.
Nobody like, seems – it seems like it's the poor acting. But maybe in this universe this is a normal thing. But I think it is because this is a sequel.
Sequel
so
to what,
like seriously, there's a two-headed shark attack and there's also a five-headed shark attack after this
any
one.
Are there any actors that are also in both or
I didn't actually go that far into the IMDb pages.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's a curiosity. I guess in this world they are all about the multi-headed sharks. They know this.
Seems to happen a lot.
So the evacuation protocol is triggered, and Professor Wetsuit is trying to get them out of there. The three-headed shark is attacking the Persephone, again, the underground, under-ocean facility. Steve tells Brian to get out of there. Get out of here, Brian. The way that you say "get," chew, fly, he's like, get out of here, Brian. All the kids, yeah. Professor Wetsuit, bad actor, doctor, make it up to land and are headed to the Earth-packed boat, which is where the kids came from. The boat is moving out to sea. Greg goes out to get it. I pause the movie, and then I write, 1 hour left? What the fuck? How is there 1 hour left? Because, you know, if they're running to a boat, it should be over. But no. hour left. Are they going to spend the rest of this movie trying to get on the boat, or will the three-headed shark destroy it? Greg makes it to the boat. Relief on the land. The boat won't start up right away. Greg opens up the hood of a boat. I don't know what it's called. Ryan goes out to the boat. The subplot of the three heads, the three-headed shark, would be much more interesting to explore, because the three heads kind of like don't like each other. They're like hitting each other. The middle shark's like, food, 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 and the left one's like smacking into it, and the right-headed shark's trying to get some food. But the middle shark's like, fuck you guys. Did you notice this subplot?
I did. I just got a text from Jonathan saying to make sure that we said fuck you to the Comcast so the listeners could hear it.
So for a third time, fuck you to Comcast. Yeah. Yep. Owners of all the Universal properties, all of NBC, a lot of Hulu, and man, why do you suck? You shouldn't suck. I mean, Disney sucks, but they're not as bad as you. Which is saying something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got Ryan going out to the boat. We've got he makes it to the boat. Allison makes a move to the boat. Other guy joins her. His name is Omar. The three-headed shark ponders its move. The middle shark head is saying, I want Omar. Omar is then killed. Allison continues to swim as Greg yells, Allison, swim. Because Greg's helpful. The boat has started. The radio is not working. Three-headed shark swims beneath. Greg does not think they can get it to land without driving it into the land. Maggie suggests she distracts the three-headed shark. Professor Wetsuit refuses and decides to swim. Maggie lets out the most pathetic, no, while Allison whimpers, oh my God. Just amazing acting. If you think that I'm underacting, by the way, this is perfect. No. Oh my God. Anyway, Maggie and Dr. Boring swim to the boat while the three-headed shark is right behind Professor Wetsuit. Professor Wetsuit is eaten by middle head of the shark. Maggie wastes no time yelling, no, instead of swimming to the boat. Greg helps, yelling, swim, Maggie. So all the characters in this entire movie are fucking idiots. They're like...
Yeah, they all seem to just jump into the water. Like... Every single time, it's just like, oh, wait, he couldn't do it. I can do this. I got it. Don't worry.
Well, they're not also swimming, but they're also like, their words in recurrence are, swim, person. Swim, John, swim.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, the dialogue is just brilliant. It's the best dialogue you've ever seen in anything. Let's see here. Okay, so we've got Greg. We've got Maggie, Dr. Bourne. Boring, Allison, and Ryan are on the boat, and they're being chased by the three-headed shark. The radio finally works again, and Ryan tries to get to the Coast Guard. Enter Danny Trejo. His name in this movie is called Max Burns. He explains Ryan reached a fishing boat because they are on the wrong frequency, because they're like calling out, trying to get the Coast Guard, and they get Danny Trejo. The kids have lost sight of the three-headed shark, and now see it headed towards another boat, a party boat, where kids dance in bathing suits. They are spending some time with the characters. I actually
saw this much of the movie.
Yeah, I've been talking for a long time. I have much longer notes than you do. So you want to take back microphone for the... Oh, God. No.
Because, I don't even know where I dropped off. I'm sure that I went on for like 7 minutes while there was nothing live on me at all.
Oh, no, I saw that I was frozen after you dropped off, so I'll keep yammering. Ready? I just said, enter Danny Trejo. His name is Max Burns. Mm-hmm. He explains Ryan reached a fishing boat because they're on the wrong frequency. The kids have lost sight of the three-headed shark and now see it headed towards another boat, a party boat where kids dance in bathing suits. They are spending some time with the characters on the party boat. I really hope it's not because we need to learn who they are. They're all dancing, and you don't care about them.
Yeah.
On the water, we're at the party boat. Ryan warns Trejo that the party boat is in a lot of danger. Lots of cans in the water because of the party boat. Middle shark eats the cans. Three-headed shark circles the boat. Dr. Boring thinks three-headed shark is being drawn to the pollution, and the pollution is driving the three-headed shark insane. What is he basing his conclusion on? Because I don't know. Eric explained earlier that this is a sequel, which I did not know, so maybe this is actually a known phenomenon.
It's a sequel to Two-Headed Shark.
Yep.
Okay. Again, as dumb as 300 Shark is, I did not think that this was a sequel to anything. Because, like, why would that be a thing? But it's a thing.
I also, I know that you already covered all this, and I'm sorry, but I just have to add this one Please little do. Thing. There was one of those elements that I found consistently annoying. So, you know, the sequence where everyone's having to swim out to the boat and the professor needlessly sacrifices herself. I'm sure you've talked about that, right?
Yes.
I saw you nodding. I'm like, I would like a.
I muted because I had a burp. And I don't think. Well, again, a burp that's is not fair. A good podcast. But anyway, go ahead.
No, you're right. None of that's good. I'm glad we got all of it. So the thing that bugged me is that there are moments where the dialogue makes it clear that they're supposedly moving the boat, but all of the shots of the film show that the boat is clearly completely motionless in the water. That it's just sitting there anchored off the coast of this island. I never understood why they needed to get off the island. Like, why not just stay on the island and wait for rescue? Surely if you have a big scientific facility that suddenly goes offline, people are going to wonder what the hell is going on. It's clearly not that secluded. There's a fucking party boat nearby. That's a paddle boat, for God's sakes. It's a paddle boat. Like a fucking steamboat style boat. So there's like, I never understood why anyone felt like there was the need to swim out to this little bitty boat in the first place. Why not just stay on the island and wait for rescue? And there was never a moment.
They retconned this. They retconned this. So they explain at the very end of the movie that the shark, the three-headed shark and the multi-headed shark, eventually can always go further and further inland. And there was no place on the island that they were safe. Now, they didn't know that until about like an hour and 20 into the movie. So why did they try that 40 minutes in? I don't know. But I have notes about this because it's a shark and it should die on land. But that's what they came up with much later in the movie.
So they justified the characters' decisions based on information that they could not possibly have had at that moment and just hope that no one would notice?
I watched the entire movie 100% sober, like I'm not doing this podcast now. And I took notes. There was nobody else there. I was paying attention to the entire movie.
Well, I asked just in case my connection drops out again before you are able to complete, because you're pretty much right where I was sitting off, where I stopped. The last thing I remember seeing is Rob Van Dam watching some guy fall down the engine room and presumably get chomped. That was the last thing I remember seeing. Mm-hmm. So that's as far as I got. In case this drops out before I can hear the end of it, just tell me, are there any other boobs, or was it just those first 6 minutes? That's where all the boobs were.
Well, there are no other nude boobs in the rest of the movie. There are a lot of, hey, this guy's bleeding to death. Let me take off my shirt and then make a Band-Aid, which happened a lot after when RVD shows up. But nobody else like has to take off the next level of clothing.
So they front-loaded. Like I said that this movie was top-heavy and front-loaded as a joke, and it turns out that was absolutely true.
And all, like
you get top heavy and front loaded. Yeah. Six boobs in 6 minutes, guys. And then after that, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there's scantily clad people, but they're like, it's
just so weird to me to have that much nudity in that short a time span across the entire running length of a film. It's just weird, right? Like, either don't have it at all, in which case it's fine. You know, you just have women in bikinis, whatever. That's fine. Or you continue, you know, you would figure that you would see more of it throughout the movie. It's just weird to have, hey, for the first 6 minutes of this monster movie, we're just going to have tits a-popping. And then after that, nothing.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
They got rid of those. Now I'm noticing it's 9:53 when we're recording this. I'm going to see if I have my notes.
So. All right, yes, please do.
All right, I have here 44 minutes left. Shit. Okay. Nerd Boat is next to the Party Boat. Beer is coming. Yay. All right. Let's see what else is important here. The Search for Howard. You guys remember Howard?
Because I don't know who Howard is.
Howard's like the fiance of some like chick on the party boat.
Gotcha. The chick who was dangling off the edge for a while?
Yes, her.
Okay.
Oh, good. My iPad is frozen. Okay, so Maggie, RVD, and Dr. Boring looking for Howard. RVD's acting is the best. Hey, Howard. Like he was checking on Howard in his office. He's like looking for him like he fell down the stairs after sharks are attacking and the whole boat's going down. He's like, hey, Howard. It's hilarious. Okay, Howard is found. RVD and Dr. Boring pick up Howard, and they slowly start walking. We get to see some party boat carnage elsewhere. Allison tears her shirt apart to create bandages, like I was talking about. Maggie has also lost her top. Also bandages for Howard. The boat is going down. The rear of the boat is going down, and the three-headed shark has it. Dr. Boring may be fish food unless Maggie and RVD can save him. Howard offers help RVD. RVD is holding both Dr. Boring and Howard. I don't know who long fish can hold. I don't know how long fish can be out of water, but this scene is like 4 minutes. Middle shark gets the doctor, and the other two heads say, fuck middle head. Because the other two heads of the shark are pissed about the middle head of the shark eating things because they're not getting fed, but they have the same body. I don't know how to explain this. Yeah. Because they don't have like thought bubbles. Again, better movie with thought bubbles, like left shark. Fuck him. Fuck him. Larry sucks.
Especially if it was like the Katy Perry left shark. That would have been amazing.
Dated. Oh, so the walking people want to go to the boat.
Fuck you.
I deserve that. I deserve that. Of all the things on the show I've ever deserved, I deserve that. Oh, so the walking people want to go to the boat. The carnage kids are fucked on the party boat. Ryan is still on the party boat. He runs up the walkway thing. The ramp with an axe in hand, Ryan with an axe, and then axes the three-headed shark. And it looks like he's water skiing because he hits the shark and they start taking off. Three-headed shark starts squirming, and then he also gets to kill Ryan. And now my next chapter is the search for safety. RVD was busy making time with Allison. The engine is smoking. RVD is so soft-spoken. I don't know how anybody hears him. He has the best line, though. Allen says, will I give up? And RVD says something like, why would it? It's winning. Best line in the entire movie. If you got to watch any line, that's because why would the shark give up? Yeah. All right. Trio is back. And of course, his fishing boat has machine guns. Because you fish with machine guns. I don't fish. Is this normal? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I once got into a fierce battle with a trout, and if it weren't for the fact that I happen to have a good Gatling gun on my boat, who knows what could have happened.
Like my notes say, do they fish with guns? I think that's a thing. Earth Pack's boat is dead. Maggie says they have to swim for it. Trio says something ahead of them and above them and reacts. And then the next shot, the item he's reacting to is probably under the water. So he's like reacting up here, but the shark's down here. It makes no goddamn sense unless the shark is like 20 feet tall. Trio tells his guys to open fire. The shark is not hit for a little bit. Trio is still yelling, unload. Is it easy to hear Trio, who is behind a windshield in a boat, yelling to two guys in front of the boat? The physics in this don't make sense. Believe the shark, but the physics, it bothered me.
Yeah, understandable. No, that's a legitimate criticism.
Trio pulls a machete because machete. Shark stops moving after Trio chops the head off the middle shark. But how? He was firmly in front of the shark. He'd have to jump to the side of the shark to cut it. It makes no sense. Again, the physics makes no sense. Again, I'm sorry, I was sober during the movie. Only the movie. Trio walks ashore. Will one of the other heads get him? Yep. Don't talk near the monster. The two-headed shark drags Trio and the kids and RVD run for it. RVD finds a skinny-dipping betting kid from the beginning of the movie. RVD says, who are you? And sees all the bodies on the beach. Greg seems amused that three-headed shark can do this kind of damage inland. Just keep going inland, is my opinion, because, you know, it's a fucking shark and it will die. Oh, I missed something. RVD says, it grows more heads when one is cut off. Now, they want to use that info to make the three-headed shark fight itself, which is a good idea. Okay, so the three-headed shark has grown three heads in the middle. So they chopped off the middle head, okay? And now there are three heads in the middle. There's a head on the left. So now you've
got five heads total.
No.
Yes. And then the joke I did like 2 weeks ago about the four-headed shark, I was prescient apparently instead of being an idiot. It's not a good thing. Okay. We have the five-headed shark. Sometime Maggie became an action hero. Pontoon boats found and they are running. The boats have slides in the back, by the way. Rosemarie, who the hell's Rosemarie? Says we're going to be okay and tries to get an orgy started with Allison and traumatized guy. Who's Rosemarie? Oh, she's the girl with Harold. Five-headed shark is coming after them.
They try to get an orgy?
Well, is she's that you really just flirty?
Okay.
No, she's super flirty. She's like, I think things will be okay. You should relax a little. It's really creepy. And I'm like, what's happening? Because
this was
again,
not mentioned in that Wikipedia synopsis.
Well, like I told you.
No, it was not.
It was all front loaded. I thought it wasn't all front loaded. I haven't watched the movie until I'm taking these notes. All right. So where are we? I missed something. Are we blah, blah, blah. There was the orgy. Where are we? What's my orgy line? Skinny dipping guy. The dead guy. Five-headed shark. We're going to be okay. Here we go. Maggie yells to Allison about the shark. They don't understand. So Maggie's on one boat and Allison another shark and another boat. And they're yelling, shark, 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 shark. And then the thing they're running from, they don't know to look for it. Okay, so in this situation, RVD's boat is behind Allison's boat. They are yelling at RVD's boat to Allison saying, blah, blah, blah. Allison can't hear them and can't make it out. None of the four people on the boat turn to see what's going on. Five-headed shark jumps on Allison's boat with the proposed couple. The boat explodes and the five-headed shark eats away. Here comes the conclusion, guys. You ready?
Yeah.
To kill a shark. Maggie wants to save the day. Her plan is to lead the five-headed shark to garbage patch. Let the five-headed shark eat itself to death. Because that's what she said. RVD finds bags of garbage on his boat to lead the shark back with them. Now, RVD is throwing garbage bags out the back and then gets his hand bitten off by a seagull or a shark. He gets his hand bit off by a shark. Maggie, who is out of shirts to use his advantage, takes off her bikini top. Nah, you know what? She actually finds a towel. Because I told you, what was it? Top heavy, front loaded.
All right.
Yep.
RVD boat is out of garbage. RVD goes out on the slide behind the boat. There are slides in the boat, by the way. I'm not making that part up. Greg follows him down the slide. RVD's right hand, while he's swimming around, which has been bitten off, is clearly visible while he's swimming because it's cheap.
Why bother? Why bother with the continuity?
RVD, while Greg is trying to like sacrifice himself, gives Greg a back elbow. RVD is now dead. Greg swims back to the boat. Now the movie goes to slow-mo because we need this slower. We don't need this. No, my notes are like screaming at me saying, I cannot believe I watched this movie. Where the fuck is the Coast Guard, by the way? They call the Coast Guard like an hour ago. They have not shown up yet. Semo, the shark is getting a steady stream of cans and garbage. Left shark head eats middle left shark head because there's three heads in the middle. So now we should have a seven-headed shark because it'll regrow. I think left shark head is trying to eat more middle shark heads. Right shark head eats middle shark head. Then right eats left. Shark begins to sink. I rewound this for this, guys, to find out which sharks were eating which thing. Maggie and Greg sit by the edge of the boat. Maggie says to Greg, get your feet out of the water. A helicopter shows up, and the movie ends. My last note says, fuck you, Eric.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I deserve
that one.
It's on the bottom.
Yeah.
You see it? There it is.
Yep.
Not that written
was,
today.
Yeah. I imagine.
That was a hell of a movie.
Yeah, you know, Eric, it's only an hour and a half.
You got anything to add there, Eric, to the movie that you picked, Eric?
I don't. I really want to I went through the am I locked up? I don't see myself.
No, you're still there.
We can hear you, but you're a little bit.
Yeah, your video is freezing, but we can hear you just fine.
Then I'll ignore it. That's fine. As we were going through this, I went through the editor for the Wikipedia page for that Three-Headed Shark Attack, and found that they had edited many Asylum Film Wikipedia pages. And I'm going to read my favorite real quick. Countdown Jerusalem. The film takes place about the seven signs of the apocalypse, in this case created by a sect, which aims to take the company to the brink of war. Before the search for her daughter, as a series of catastrophic disasters push a destabilized society toward the brink of war, The Purge of the Disaster Film of Faith, a mother and father search for their only child as a giant asteroid headed for Earth triggers a series of disaster events.
This
I'm not sure this, those are sentences.
This sounds like the summaries are being written by Tommy Wiseau.
That film.
It sounds like Tommy Wiseau is writing all those summaries. I'm not entirely convinced it's not Tommy Wiseau writing all the summaries for the Asylum films.
They're kind of amazing. Like this one doesn't even make sense.
let's just talk a little bit, just in general, about we've made the point before about how Asylum movies are just garbage. They're just trash. It's trash. They know it's trash. They know that the audience knows it's trash. The audience will watch it anyway. Maybe they're watching it because they think it's ironic. We watched it because we actually knew it was going to be bad and we wanted to test ourselves. So it wasn't like we were watching it ironically. We accepted the fact that this was going to be terrible. I hate that the Asylum exists. I hate it because we've said it before. It's really cynical filmmaking. It is filmmaking by committee to make something genuinely awful, knowing that there will be people who watch it. And it's an attempt to make schlock for schlock's sake, which is never really works properly. Schlock is best if it wasn't actually intended to be schlocky, unless you are really fucking good, like John Carpenter or something. So, same thing that applies to other Asylum movies we have watched. It's the same sort of lazy ass filmmaking. Like, apparently, the actual productions on Asylum films are extremely efficient and very professional. And I can get that because it looks to me like they went one take and that's it. Because if they did multiple takes, it's terrifying to think that the stuff we saw were the best ones, right?
I hope they were.
So I'm thinking they were like.
I want to believe that. I want to believe that. No, Greg. No, Brad. I want to believe that. Like that was the best take for Maggie. She's like, just like, emote. Give me everything you got. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. No, Brad. I really hope that Maggie is that bad. Because if she's not that bad, I'm sorry that this is actually on your professional career. Because, man, I would be angry about it. But I promise on my next video I do, I'm gonna say no, Brad.
Multiple things that bothered me. I thought Maggie, when the professor died, Maggie actually seemed genuinely upset. But at the same time, I was thinking like, well, this is stupid because Maggie literally just met her, but she's acting like her best friend has just been eaten. And yes, it should be absolutely traumatic for her, but she's already seen people getting eaten by this shark. So it's not like it's a surprise. She does say that she's going to be the one to go and distract the shark. Essentially, she would be the one sacrificing herself, but the professor overrides her and she decides to be the one to sacrifice herself. Makes no sense. You're like, all right, well, if you just take this from a return on investment point of view, clearly the professor, who has knowledge that could potentially be useful, should be preserved, right? Send the douchebag activist guy out there to be the bait. Right, not the professor who's actually might have something useful. So the professor killing herself makes no sense. Really, the whole basic premise of a lot of this movie makes no sense because it all depends upon multiple people hanging out close to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. like that's the beach you want to go to when you're partying. Hey guys, let's go to this party. Now there's going to be this enormous patch of rancid and, by the way, nuclear garbage floating. It's going to be radioactive and it's going to be toxins leaking from it, but we can have a bitchin' beach volleyball party and maybe do some skinny dipping while we're at it. You know, the party boat is going through it. You have the people at the beginning of the movie who are swimming around in it. And then you've got this big underwater facility that is connected to an island for some reason and somehow has manages to be deep underwater while simultaneously being right off the coast of an island. None of this makes sense. Just like you were saying with the physics about being able to be heard by people who are firing guns while you are in a totally different spot of a boat, or people who are being yelled at from a boat up ahead of them, never thinking, maybe we should turn around and see what the hell these people are upset about. None of this makes sense. It's just shit that happens. That's what an asylum movie is. It's just shit that happens, and the shit that's happening in one section does not in any way lead to or connect with the shit that follows. It's just a series of shit scenes until the movie is over, and then people got paid.
Okay, that cannot be topped.
Arias, it's your turn to pick a movie.
Oh, we're going to watch Fuller House season 3,
Jesus
episode
Christ,
1.
That's right. Oh God, no.
Damn it.
What are we watching the whole season, did you say?
No. One episode.
Just episode
it's,
one
it's 22 okay. minutes. So if you watch the first two seasons of Fuller House, you don't have to watch this. Fuller House, I'm writing it down too. Fuller House season 3, episode 1.
So it's am I going to be missing anything if I haven't finished any of season 1 and 2?
You know, if you try, you know what, never mind. Watch it. Just watch it. If you somehow are like, what's going on? You are fired. You are fired from this show. You are fired from anything you actually get paid for, and you will be taken by the authorities to go, we got to talk. Like, how? You need to be like a jury duty, like, leader. Like, you're the guy.
I think you're really, Ayaz, you're really downplaying the serialized nature of Fuller House and how every episode builds intrinsically upon the one that preceded it.
Now, of the three of us here, I've watched every episode of the show.
God, you're such a fucking masochist.
Yeah. And I had to stop myself from watching this fucking episode because I'm like, I'll do it next time. So you can feel my pain.
So this is the first episode of season 3, right? That you're saying that we need to watch?
Sorry, guys. It's also only 22 minutes.
It's 22 minutes. I can get through 22 minutes of bullshit, awful
guys,
sitcom.
I want notes from everybody, and I will do the last one. Because this is a short thing, and if it sucks, at least it's only one story, not like my Bob the Builder thing, which is like 15 fucking stories in 20 minutes. Fuck you, Bob.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Can we build it? Yeah, you can. Shut the fuck up. But
it's true.
Fuller House season 3, episode 1, will not have that. That's our next review. Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
All right. I know you warned me, but there's this one part of Fuller House I just don't understand. So what the fuck happened at the end of season 2?
So my favorite thing about the first episode of season 3, I cannot believe this. They brought the ghost of Comet back, but you know, he's kind of drippy and disgusting and dead. So I don't really like that.
Yeah. What the hell happened at the end of season 2? Half of these characters are new.